What would be necessary, what sort of evidence, what sort of thing would be necessary for the courts to simply, to have a, suddenly a means to go over and just go into his residence and into the grounds and search? What's necessary? What do they need to
go ahead? See, the problem is it's kind of a realization, I think, on their part. For example, in the Armstrong case, there was evidence from Gerald Armstrong, Laurel Sullivan, three or four other witnesses. I think Douglas testified about it. Howard Schomer probably testified about it. That in 1979, early 1980, somehow they learned, and that was never really made clear, someone in the GO apparently learned there was going to be another raid at Gilman Hospital. So they got a shredder for 2 or 3 weeks. They shredded it. So the answer to your question is, I think there's probably there's a couple of geo policies. One's called Red Box data. The other's called the betting hat write-up, where they basically just policies say destroy or vet, carve out with a razor blade, all information of a criminal, illegal, extortionate, tortious nature, which our guys have done. And, there are thousands of such doctors. And in the shredding process that took place in early 1980, they probably destroyed several hundred thousand doctors.
You don't think they have microdots and all that before they shredded
it? Some they might, but they probably sent that to foreign countries. I mean, you're dealing with a fairly high level of sophistication of how to conceal crime when you're dealing with this group. Right.
Yeah. In the Armstrong trial, Lyman Spurlock testified that the Church of Scientology was a hierarchical church.
Right.
Now, I've never seen any legal documents or procedure to install the chauffeur, the housekeeper, and the messenger boy as the head of a multi-million-dollar operation. And let's say all the people who contribute money to the church, who worked for the church in years for nothing, 70, 80, 90 hours a week.
Right.
And never got paid. They say, hey, this was our church. We built it. We want to know whether it was legal the way this hierarchy was set up. We think there has been a gigantic fraud here, millions and millions of dollars. And they all signed a petition to the Attorney General's office. Would the Attorney General's office do anything about it?
I think now the federal government's doing something about it. But that's a great question, but they should sign the petition and they should get their own lawyer and they should do something about it. Bring an action in the court, take over, appoint a receiver of the organization.
But see, this always brings up the question of money. There's a lot of money in there. The church has millions and millions of dollars. Now, the government has a hell of a lot more money than the church has. So this is in the order of magnitude in the right proportions.
Yeah, and in terms of the California Attorney General doing something, I think that he thinks it's too big a project.
Well, the federal.
Federal, I think the federal is doing something.
Yeah, well, would it help if everybody got together and say, hey, we don't know how these guys got into power. We see that documents that appear to have forgeries that were notarized by Ron's signatures, not notarized by David Miska and Miskovich, or whatever his name is. And if there's a reasonable doubt that there was some fraud in them getting power of these millions of dollars.
I think if enough people spoke up, and you went to the Attorney General, and you had enough names and enough petitions, and there were enough people involved, yeah, you can move mountains. You know, put enough into it.
How many names do you think it would take?
If you got 500 to 1,000 people together who were in a fair degree of earnest in terms of doing something, that's all it would take. Maybe even less. I mean, as a practical matter, I mean, I hate to say this because there are a few people who are, you know, who are really trying to let nature take its course. Regard to this organization. They're working hard to expose the organization and expose it in the courts, and by whatever means, where eventually, you know, you think it's a downward cyclical spiral that the church is in is eventually going to result in somehow a correction, a corrective process taking place. That may and probably will happen eventually. The only issue in my mind with regard to that process is the length of the victims list. And the longer it takes to take place, then the longer the victims list is, the more people like Ben have to go through the agony of having to defend what is rightfully his.
Now, another point. Again, in the Armstrong trial, like this girl I identified, all the criminal activities were done by 1,100 crims, he called them. You know, it's supposed to be a nickname everybody knows. Has anybody heard of it before? No. Crims, I guess that stands for criminals, in the GO, and that these guys had all been kicked out. So now,
they're all coming back in now.
Every time I see anybody in the second echelon, you know, below the chauffeur, the housekeeper, and the messenger boy, and the bookkeeper, that's Lance Spurlock, I see somebody who is in the GO, formerly in the GO, including when I was being deposed Tuesday, I think it was, in one of Mike Flynn's cases, the one about the airplane thing. There's that somebody, and I asked her, "Are you a former member of the GO?" And she says, "I refuse to answer on the grounds that it's not pertinent to the case." You know? So, I'm just wondering, could there something be done that they have to produce a list of these 1,100 people, or the criminals, that they admit to having committed crimes, you know? And that they really have been declared? I haven't seen any declared of them. I don't know of 110 people, I don't know, 11 people of the GO who are, you know, a few, some that...
Yeah, that was just Lyman manipulating the truth.
Yeah, well, the thing is, can't we say, hey, we'd like to see the list, you know, but we don't believe this, and where are they?
And, yeah. That and all kinds of answers should be demanded.
Yeah. And Lyman Spurlock was caught perjuring himself.
Of course.
Nothing is done about it. Why not?
Mary Sue said that processing files weren't automatic files.
Yeah.
I keep hearing rumors that David the Missing Cabbage has been in jail in Florida. And this thing about him trying to set up the judge and all that sort of thing. Have they done anything with that? Or
it's all pending. They need more evidence. More evidence. They've got testimony that the church spent $250,000 to get a boat, 77-foot yacht, put prostitutes, video cameras, audio recorders on the boat to lure the judge onto the boat to try to get him in a compromising position and to get him removed from the case. Well, here's this church spending $250,000 of your money. You know, to get a boat filled with a love boat with hookers. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
And Heber Jim's providing entertainment on the tour.
Yeah, and Heber
I think that's also the point, apart from the victims list, that's also the point of how many millions would be left. How long does it take before somebody gets all these millions out of the hands of these...
I think the money is still, for the most part, in Liechtenstein and Luxembourg bank accounts. How much is hard to say. Bill Frank says in 1980, three bank accounts that he had control of, that he knew about, had 150 million in them. And those were, I think, in Luxembourg. He said that the short period of time that he was executive director international, every day he was finding more bank accounts all over the place. And I think if a group got serious about doing something, ex-members signing petitions, getting a committee together, demanding these answers, I think the answer to your question is there's enough still there that could be traced that can't be hidden because there are simply too many people that had knowledge. For example, Homer Shomer. Homer was working at ASI between May 1982 and November 1982 before he got locked up and slapped and spit in the face by David Miscavige. And he personally transferred over $30 million from church funds to ASI funds for L. Ron Hubbard. And people like Homer have that kind of knowledge. So as the organization keeps deteriorating and coming apart, eventually people like maybe Norman Starkey, Lyman Spurlock, Mark Yeager, who knows, would come forward, try to protect their own fanny, and say, okay, yeah, here's, I know about this bank account, I know about this bank account. So, you know, I think if you did it, there's still enough there to resurrect or protect all those people who, I think it was Fred who said, all those people for all those years worked 15 hours a day for $17.35 a week, or whatever it was, who have just, because they're so suppressed by this organization and their control, feel powerless to do anything. That's the outrage. These are the people who've been ripped off. This is where the wrong's been done. So, I mean, the judicial system, in a way, there's an incongruity. There's an anomaly of awarding of Martin Samuels, even though he's my client, $50 million. Or Julie Christofferson. Or Labenda Van Schaik. I mean, it's an admitted inconsistency in the system. But the thing is, these people are the ones that are, for whatever reason, standing up and fighting, so they're suing. But the reality of the justice in the situation, as I see it, as I've said all along to my own clients, to Martin, to Ben, the reality in the situation is that the people who have been really ripped off, all these kids who did all this work, people who paid all this money, those are the victims. Those are the ones who should stand up, get together, and do something. That's where the money should be repaid. That's the home it should be returned. It could start in the USA. Yeah, I would say that, you know, it'd probably be a spin-off effect where that's what would happen. Once one group got together that was substantive enough in the USA, and then someone in Germany or someone in England saw that it was working, then probably another group would say, hey, let's do the same thing.
Yeah,
couldn't
the
Army
tell them, how
would
we, the public,
you contact Brenda Yates. Brenda's here in the courtroom. She runs the service. She runs, Brenda Yates, this young lady in the red sweater here, she runs a Xerox service. She Xeroxed all of the transcripts from the Armstrong case. She has them available. And she is going to Xerox the exhibits when they become available. Now there are, I mean, that in itself is a problem, as Brenda knows. There are thousands of pages of exhibits. There were 400 some odd numbered exhibits, of which one exhibit alone was several thousand pages. Now, the court was going to charge 45 cents per page or some such thing, 57 cents per page. And hopefully, Brenda was trying to raise money to get a kitty together to bear that cost. The cost of the original transcript, I paid out of my own pocket, and I gave the transcript to Brenda, and she made extra copies for me and things like that. But what could be done, maybe, you'd have to convince the court to go along with it, is bring in a portable Xerox machine into the courthouse. And so you could copy them cheaper, maybe as cheaply as 10 cents a copy, I don't know. But there are these thousands of pages of exhibits that you've got to get your hands on. Brenda is trying to put a group together to finance the Xeroxing of the exhibit.
Our requests were actually speculation as to Mr. Hubbard being alive, if alive, in condition.
I think alive. I think in November 1983, he was seen by Dr. Dink for some serious problem. He had previously had, according to Kima Douglas, who was his personal medical officer up until late 1979, December or so, he had had three pulmonary embolisms, including one in October 1979, which almost killed him, which is basically a clot in the lung.
As a carry-on to that, do you think he knows what's really going on? Do you think, here's the question of motivation. Listen, I realize this is only speculation, but you're closer to it than we are, because you see a lot of the feedback. Does anything seem to have the mark of the old man having direct control?
In all candor?
Candor is all I'm asking. Him saying, this is what I want.
Ron wrote in 19... I believe it's a 1973 GO internal policy that, and I may have a little trouble with my memory of this, it goes something like this. When the problem arises, I'm really paraphrasing here, except at the end of the pre quote. When the problem first arises, it's a PR problem, something like that. If that doesn't solve it, then it's a GO problem. And if the GO doesn't solve it, then it's an LRH problem. That's what it says. I've read it. It's something close to that. It says it's an LRH problem. They were supposed to terminatedly handle me, to use this terminology, years ago. I was supposed to have been terminatedly handled in 1979. The Armstrong decision, to my view, a lot of theta flowed out of the Armstrong decision. And they didn't like it. And this was Ron's answer. In my opinion, Ingram works for Ron.
So that you would assume that he's like still alive and still functioning and still actually managing the church and directing its major activities.
Yeah, I see a person who's very sick, very paranoid, maybe partially bedridden, who is so paranoid that he would, I go on descriptions from the 78, 79, 80 period in Gilman Hot Springs when he would go into these tyrannical rages, which a lot of you have probably heard about from people like Dinkowski and Douglas.
That's why he was the most beautiful.
And he'd go into these rages. And I could picture him, after the Armstrong decision, going into a rage and saying that, we're going to stop this fellow here. So they came up with this.
Would you also then along that line assume that they would prudently keep him the hell out of the country where it would be hard to make it difficult to serve subpoena on him?
Yeah, but where can he go now? He's been convicted of fraud in France. He probably couldn't get into England.
No, no way.
He'd have to go to a country, maybe Mexico City. But who wants to live in Mexico City?
He's always fond of Jamaica.
Maybe.
He discovered it, I think.
No, the reason I bring it up is here he's pulled off somewhere between 180 and 500 million bucks. He's got it out of the country. No matter what is done against him, he sure isn't going to turn That's against his personal policy and...
That's against his personal ethics.
So why not just keep it out where nobody can get their hands on it no matter what they win in court?
Yeah. I think the most ethical being on the planet is transferred in loot to another planet.
On another vein, do you have any information regarding the situation in Toronto?
Very limited. They're very closed up in Toronto. 19 people have been indicted, including the Church of Scientology. The church has been indicted for a crime in Toronto.
Fraud. Any update on how that seems to have happened?
It's all secretive. That it's because they're not releasing anything.
Who's bringing this room?
The government of Canada. 19 people have been indicted, including fraud against the Church of Scientology in Toronto. Up in the air.
Within the last 6 weeks, the government was in court trying to open or release the Armstrong document. Do you know why?
Okay, yeah, what that was, is there were, yeah, I do know why. And what was taking place is, during the Armstrong trial, many documents were unsealed, and the judge ordered them to release. Some documents, including a large part of what we'll call Ron's personal diary or affirmations in 46, unfortunately, were not unsealed. Parts of it came out in the transcript where he said he's going to make all men his slaves, and he had the right to control all men, and he had the right to lie to people and all that type of thing. But a lot of the real gutsy stuff, the judge did not let out because I guess he thought it was too personal to Ron. But I think would have revealed more intention and motive. But there were some documents that involved correspondence between Ron and some of his attorneys relating to some fairly sensitive financial issues about the church, which the court also did not unseal because of the claimed attorney-client privilege. The government, Department of Justice, went in and tried to get copies of about 11 or 12 of those unsealed exhibits, and the judge gave them about 6 and denied about 7 or something like that, 6 and 5 or 7 and 5, something like that. And the church then appealed that to the appeals court in California, and they lost. And they're now appealing that to the Supreme Court of California. But you're dealing with about 11 or 12 exhibits that Breckinridge, the judge, never unsealed when he unsealed the bulk of the other exhibits. So that's a separate group of Armstrong documents. Right. The intent was to get the financial data on some of the control elements of Ron over the church.
Have the affirmations been released?
No. No, they're sealed. They're never probably. Someday, some way, they may get released. I don't know. But as of right now, judge said no.
Pardon me, I don't understand the term affirmation in this sense.
Well, Jerry Armstrong coined it because I think what he meant was when he was collecting all these documents and he came across these series of personal writings, he got the impression from reading them that it was Ron's attempt to unravel the problems that he was having with his own mind. So, which is, to me, the heart of these documents, because they show a level of what I perceive to be sickness of the mind in an effort to try to unravel that sickness, which led him into the the Royal Order of the Golden Dawn, this black magic cult group, where he then got worse. And he basically, as we reconstruct Ron's history, tried to come to grips. My basic view is, the Michael Flynn view of it is that Ron was a mama's boy who was never able to cut it. He had basically been a failure all his life. I mean, we all fail, so I'm not denigrating Ron for that. I mean, we all make mistakes and we have failures in our life. But Ron had a lot of failures, real lot, as indicated in these documents. And he couldn't confront those failures. Instead of, you know, being a regular human being and said, okay, I win some, I lose some, which is the way we all go, he wanted to be a god. He wanted to be a total winner. And he had been a total loser. And remember, mind you now, this is the Michael Flynn view of what I, having studied Ron, et cetera. And his naval career, which his father hadn't been in the Navy, he wanted to have a very successful naval career. And it was a disaster. And he was declared unfit for duty on 3 occasions. Just a disaster. And he was mentally ill at the end of the war. He spent 3 months in a hospital. And when he got out of the hospital and he got hooked up with Sarah and Jack Parsons, he made an effort to deal with all of his failures, not by just confronting the failures and saying, that's the way it is, and okay, I'm not really, you know, this is me. I didn't succeed here. He tried to build something tried to build himself into something he never was, will never be, and that something he tried to do based on this theory of Aleister Crowley, the Germanic Orden, and it's a theory that is inherent to Nietzsche, Nazism, that whole style of thinking. And the theory is that you can cognize your own right to do anything to anybody for any reason. Once you cognize that right, you got it. You've been bestowed the right to do it. This is pure Crowleyism. Once you realize that you have the right to do it, all you need is to go out and do it. And you get placed wherever you get placed wherever you want to get placed. You succeed in whatever you want to succeed. You trample over whoever you want to trample over. To my mind, it's a level of malevolence that is impossible to come to grips with. So Ron, in the 46-47 period, basically in the quote affirmations, tried to convince himself that he did have the right to make all men his slaves, that he did have the right to undo all the failures by making himself the complete master of everything he touched, from going from total, what he conceived to be subjugation, to total dominance. And when he wrote these writings, that's what he was affirming.